Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My guest this half hour, Will Ragland from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're talking about what to anticipate in 2025. We know that Donald Trump will be trying to not just extend the tax cuts that he gave to, yes, middle-class people, which was well-deserved, and I'm for that. But he also, the whole point of the 2017 tax cuts wasn't about the middle class, though that was sort of the fig leaf, right? It was about billionaire tax cuts for 100 millionaires and some of our wealthiest corporations. He plans on not just extending those, but increasing the amount of tax cuts, which will starve our government of some of the revenue that it needs for some of the most fundamental services that every American relies upon. Read public education, Medicare, Medicare, Social Security. My question to you, Will, and one of the strategic questions that I have to imagine is getting debated, is do Democrats on Capitol Hill oppose Trump tax cut plan 2.0 on all fronts? Do they try to negotiate in the tax? Like, what's the tactic here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question. It cuts right to the heart. Look, I think there are a couple of principles that Democrats need to approach this debate with. No tax package should increase income inequality. Whatever passes, we need to make sure that middle-class folks, working-class folks get cuts, but like it shouldn't, we need to make sure that this, whatever passes, doesn't increase the massive income inequalities we've seen for over generations. So that's first and foremost. Second, all of it should be paid for. Any new tax cuts should be paid for with taxes, with tax increases on the wealthy, on those that already in too many instances aren't paying their fair share. And the third thing is, like, it shouldn't be paid for with investments that have already been made that are making us more competitive, like, you know, the CHIPS Act. It shouldn't, you know, in the investments that have already been creating jobs and building, you know, the next century manufacturing in this country, we shouldn't come at the expense of that. So I think if Democrats approach it through that lens, then I think it will be key that they stick together. My worry is that many will start to splinter off.
Yes.
And we won't have a strong debate. Like, you know, I worry about the state and local tax exemption in certain people in certain areas of the country with high property values or who have constituencies in some of those districts start playing ball and, you know, do a little give and take. And even though the barter package is terrible, you know.
Well, don't you think that potential speaks to precisely one of the things that has plagued the Democratic Party, that there hasn't been, and I'm going to use the word enforcement, like party line enforcement of, listen, you don't get to bargain away because it happens to be good for just your constituents when it's going to burden or hurt the middle class and working people on this country in the aggregate more than what your tiny little deal that you're getting done for your district helps, right? That fundamental principle that, yes, we should make sure that the middle class is the beneficiary, that working people are the beneficiary of tax cuts, and that whatever that is doing, it's not making the income and wealth inequality in this country worse, that we cannot permit Democrats to splinter off and start cutting side deals that fundamentally undermine the very thing that I think motivated in good faith the vast majority of Trump voters, and that is real economic anxiety and the feeling that they're getting screwed, because they are. I mean, Elon Musk's $444 billion, if he spent $10 million a day, every day, for 100 years, he will only have spent $365 billion. I mean, this is part of the problem.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I will say that, you know, in 2017, when the first round of tax cuts for the rich and wealthy passed, Democrats stayed on side. The Democrats stayed together. And because of that, we were able to make it an issue. We were able to say, look, they passed these tax cuts and breaks for the wealthy and the big corporations and are forgetting about you. And they tried to make it even worse with ACA repeal. And Democrats stuck together on that too. So I think we can point to that and get people to remember those fights, it'll be good for us. But I think it's going to be hard.
Thanks so much. I always appreciate your insights, Will. This is Will Ragland. He's from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. The thing that concerns me is, unlike in 2017, I think the environment is so changed that I worry about Democrats losing some of their nerve, right, in the wake of what this election cycle meant. Very briefly, we got less than a minute. Will, if you can just tell us, how important do you think elections and state and local elections and appointments for judges are in the face of a Supreme Court that is so far right leaning?
I mean, this is where the right built their power for decades and decades. And I think we're starting to see a lot of that happen on our side, starting with Wisconsin and Ben Wickler. So I'm really hopeful that some of the things that Wisconsin did well, we can take to scale nationally.
From your lips to God's ears, Will. That's Will Ragland from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Happy holidays to you, my friend. When we come back after the top of the hour, I'm going to give you the up-to-date new news about the Luigi Mangione indictment for murder of the UnitedHealthcare CEO. That when we come back, and we'll talk a bit about the fatal school shooting yesterday outside of Madison, Wisconsin. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.